Open up your Bibles with me and let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 59 here. We'll start there. It says, "And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that's pretty tough, but you know, what Jesus is trying to get us to see here is that we really have nothing to go back to. Once you find the Lord Jesus Christ, once He becomes your Lord, there is nothing about your old life to go back to. We have to continue in the new life that He's given us. Once we receive salvation, you and I now are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now we're to walk this thing out and not go back. The old life that Jesus brought us out of has nothing for us. Realize that nothing there was any good, or let me just say it this way, nothing there was any heavenly good. Okay? You see, I mean, you might have had some things you enjoyed, and there might be people you enjoyed, things like that. But here's the thing, anything that does not glorify God of that old past life, you don't want anything to do with that. Come on, you want to stay away from that. And Jesus is saying, listen, you need to just keep pressing forward. Don't be looking back. Again, you know, Jesus is using the natural example here. I grew up and been around, and I know a lot of you have too. But I grew up at a time when, you know, not the tractors were kind of more of a rarity than they were, you know, on every farm. The thing that most farms had was a mule. You know, because people plowed and they did disc, they'd pull disc, they did everything pulling with mules. Now, I don't go back to the oxen era. I'm not that old, but about everybody had a mule. Now, we never did have a mule, so we'd have to usually pay somebody to bring their mule, come plow and whatever, but we never did big farming. We always just raised gardens and that kind of thing. Okay? But one thing that I learned real quickly was depending on what kind of mule that person had, You could have some trouble, because some of them were very stubborn. And also, you had slow mules and you had fast mules. Now, the guys that had those fast mules, man, them things that go through that field flying, they had to make sure they kept their eyes forward. I mean, they didn't have time to look back, see how good a job they were doing, because they had to keep that thing going, watch, make sure, because just the least little bit of a slip, it'd take up half your old corn. And so they always had to keep their eyes. And Jesus is using this as an example. He said, listen, you can't plow a straight row if you're looking backwards. And so what he's doing is using this natural thing to give you a spiritual principle. What he's saying is here, you're not going to stay straight on the road with God if you're trying to look back at your old life. You've got to make sure that you keep looking at what God's got ahead of you. See, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Therefore, we got to stay with what God has ordered for us. Stay and keeping our eyes focused on that. And so that's the point Jesus wants to get across here. And that's the thing that I want us to look at. We've got to keep on going forward. We've got to keep on walking. We can't look back. You know, if you think about it, really, and we use this example a whole lot, but if you look at it, you know, you've got a big front windshield, but most of the time you've got a small back windshield. Right? And that's just simply because when you're going forward, you need to see where you're going. Going backward is just every now and then. Now, that's natural. Now, in the Christian walk, we shouldn't be going backwards at all. We ought to always keep ourselves moving forward, okay? Now, jump over here with me to Genesis chapter 19. And I want to read something to you here. Let's read just a little bit, and I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 19, we're going to read some. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, but we'll abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered to his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both the old and young, all people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and you do unto them as good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot to the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Can I just stop there a second? Every time I read that, it just blows my mind. It just blows my mind. Here we have a city that is nothing basically but a homosexual city. And we have God getting ready to destroy it because of the homosexuality. He sends angels down there to get Lot, to deliver Lot out. They want to try to sleep with the angels. They're not worried about the women. They want the men. I want you to picture this thing. And the angels have to get Lot in to keep them from just destroying him. And then they strike the men blind. And notice this. They weary themselves trying to find the door. You getting this? I'm going to tell you something. There is a spirit behind homosexuality. The spirit of the devil is there. You get mad at me about this if you want to. But what kind of person, after they've been struck blind, is still trying to get in the house to have sex with a man? It just shows you the way that that spirit can take over their mind to where they can't even think reasonably. Come on, I want you to see that. They're wearying themselves to try to get in even though they've been struck blind. I'm going to tell you something. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And you need to understand that. When you read the Bible, you can see these things. And so, let me read on just a little bit. So it says, and they smote the men of the house with blindness, both great and small, so they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said to Lot, hast thou here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Can I just say this? God is getting ready to pull judgment upon the earth. And no matter how much we cry, it's like we're just mocking. He's telling them, you've got to get out of here. God's going to destroy this place. And they're laughing at him. The world is laughing at the children of God. But I got news for you. We're going to get the last laugh. In other words, we're going to be the ones that ends up right and they're wrong. Now, when I say last laugh, I don't really mean we're going to laugh, because it's going to be a sad time. Because there's a lot of folks that we love and cherish, they're going to end up going to hell, but it's because they think we're silly. They think we're stupid. They think we've lost it. They think that we're weak-minded because we serve a God that we know allowed His Son to die for us so that we could get to go to heaven. They'll miss heaven because they won't believe the truth. Here, Lot's telling them the truth. God's going to destroy this place. But it says he seemed as one that just mocked. And when the morning come, verse 15, when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot and saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said to them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee into, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And they said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, also that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered to Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now look what's going on. See the whole drama of this thing and everything that's going on. Lot still doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. How many knows if God rescued him out of the city that he's going to take care of him on the mountain? Come on, but he doesn't want to go to the mountain. Lot has kind of gotten himself accustomed to the city. If he hadn't got himself accustomed to this, he would have never stayed in Sodom. Understand, the Bible talks about it was vexing his righteous soul. In other words, it was bothering Lot because he knew what was going on there was wrong, but he was so attached to that he wouldn't let go of it. And apparently his wife was so attached that she even looked back and it caused her to become a pillar of salt. See, all they had to do was just keep walking. Not looking back, keep moving on because God had just delivered them and kept them from being destroyed in that city. And here they did, or she looked back, and he really didn't want to go. Notice that the angels had to get a hold of all their hands and literally pull them out of the city. Aren't you glad God got a hold of your hand and pulled you out of sin? Pulled you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you over into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm glad He did that for me. Come on, somebody. See, that's the God we serve. He loves us. But once He pulls us out, He don't want us to look back. He wants us to keep on walking toward Him. Keep the pace toward Him. Now, to repent, we know, means to turn and go a different direction, right? So when He brought them out, what He was saying, go a different direction. Don't turn around. When you and I repent, we don't need to turn around and go back. We need to make sure that we keep going the other direction. Make sure that we know we're walking toward the Lord and away from the things that He brought us out of. But that's a choice that we have to make. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted and taken off course by anything or anyone. See, it's real easy. The devil's got a lot of things out there. There are a lot of pitfalls for you. There are a lot of things to draw your attention, a lot of things to try to pull you off course if you'll let them. You have to remember what's important. You have to remember to keep focused and just keep on walking toward that which is right. Because you know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit when something's wrong. He'll let you know. If it's wrong, you'll get that unction on the inside of you. So we've got to be careful that we don't allow something or someone to distract us. Because it's not always somebody. Sometimes it's something that does it. And then sometimes it's not something but someone. And so we have to be careful about that because we have to understand that people have influence on our lives. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow somebody to influence us in the wrong way to pull us away from God. I love good influences. It's good to have people that are a good influence on your life, people that will lead you toward the Lord, but you have to avoid those that will pull you away from the Lord. And see, sometimes where the devil will get you, and a lot of times that what happens is the devil will tell you, well, you know, you're stronger than that. You don't have to worry. You can go back to those old friends you had, and you can lead them to the Lord. But see, you have to be really careful. Because sometimes that's just a trap of the enemy. Now, to lead them to the Lord is an awesome thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You better be strong in the Lord and the power of His might as you do that, because it's the things that they're going to say that's going to, they're going to cut you. Notice here that Lot's telling them, you know, you got to leave these men alone. No, you can't be doing this kind of thing. He's trying to tell them not to be doing what they're doing. What do they say? You think you're going to tell us what to do? You think you're going to boss us around now? See, just because you get saved don't mean they're happy for you. Just because you're living right for the Lord don't mean they're happy for you. Now, I pray that they are. And I pray that you can lead somebody to the Lord. But be careful that you don't get caught up in their trap. Well, if you really want to, you know, want to be around us and stuff, you ought to go do some stuff with us. And if you're not careful, what they're doing is not godly. And they'll pull you right back into where you came out of. See, because this flesh didn't get saved. This flesh is something that you've got to renew day by day. You've got to present your body a living sacrifice. The inner man, now he got changed. But this flesh, Paul even talks about the fight he has with his flesh. He said, the thing that I wouldn't do, that's the thing I do. And the thing I should do, that's the thing I wouldn't do. He said, I've got this war going on. But I thank God I've got the Lord Jesus Christ here, and He's the one helping me out. See, because you've got to keep Him in front of you. You've got to keep walking toward Him so that you can overcome this flesh. How many knows you can win the battle against the flesh? Why? Because your spirit man is Lord. You are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. So your spirit man is Lord. But you've got to make your body line up. Paul said, I beat my body and bring it in subjection. What is he talking about? I tell my body to shut up. No matter what the craving is, no matter what the thing is, I tell my body, shut up and make it in subjection to my spirit man. And of course, if your spirit, make him in subjection to your spirit man, then the Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, then also your body's subject to the Holy Spirit, right? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? So we have to make sure that we're not getting distracted, letting anything distract us. Look over here in 1 Kings with me. Let's look at a story here. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, in chapter 13, God sends a man of God down to Bethel to prophesy against the altar. He goes down and he begins to prophesy against the altar. King Jeroboam is there and he wants to stop him because he prophesies that it's going to turn to ash and all this. And he's going to shut up the man of God. So he tries to grab a hold of him and said, get a hold of him, take care of him, get him. And when he sticks his hand out and touches the man of God, that hand don't move anymore. I mean, it's frozen right there, dried up. And he can't move it. And all of a sudden, everything the man of God prophesied just comes to pass right there. And Jeroboam realizes this is a man of God, and God is in this place. And he asked him, he said, please, I beg of you to entreat the Lord for me, that my arm be made whole again. And he asked God, and God takes care of it. And then Jeroboam says, why don't you come home with me, and I'll feed you, I'm going to take care of you. And the man of God says, no, I can't do that. The Lord told me that I'm not to eat or drink anything here. Matter of fact, I can't even go back home the way I came. And so the man of God leaves there, and there's an old prophet there in town, and he hears about what's going on. His sons tell him what's going on. And that old prophet gets out and takes off, and he hunts this man of God down and finds him. And he asked him, he said, are you the man of God that prophesied in the temple? And he said, yeah, I am. He said, well, I want you to come home with me. I want to feed you and put you up at the house there and stuff. And the man of God tells him the same thing. God said, no, I cannot. I can't eat. I can't drink. I can't even go back the same way that I came. And the old prophet says, well, I'm a prophet of the Lord too. And the Lord told me, come and get you and bring you back to my house and let you have dinner and feed you and take care of you. But the Bible says, but he lied. And the man of God believed the old prophet, went home with him, and while they're sitting at the table, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord comes on the old prophet, and he begins to prophesy to him, because you've disobeyed the Lord, and stayed here, and you've eaten, you've drunk, and not obeyed the Lord, you'll not even make it back home to be buried in the sepulchres of your fathers. The man of God finishes eating, gets on his horse, and takes off. And he gets eaten by a lion before he gets home. Now you see, He thought he was being influenced by something good. Just because somebody tells you that the Lord said, don't mean the Lord said. You have to be careful once again by someone that's trying to influence you. I've used this before, but I'll never forget it, because it was just so typical of people trying to be spiritual, and when it's not the spirit at all, but the devil. It's all right, Vicki, I'm going to tell it again. I can't help it. But she had just started coming here. And, you know, Arlie wasn't even coming yet at that time. And she was coming, and we went up to World Harvest Church up there. And, man, there was thousands there. And Vicki's in the bathroom, and all of a sudden there's one of them bathroom prophets come up to her. And bathroom prophet's somebody that can't prophesy out in public because they're going to tell you something just because they want to tell you that because they think they're spiritual. But anyway, I don't remember everything she said to Sister Vicki, but I do remember the things she said, that her husband was going to die and all this. And so she's tore up, man. She comes, she's talking to me about what, Pastor, what should I do? And I said, don't believe that liar. I said, number one, if it was from God, it wouldn't have to be told to you in a bathroom hid from everybody. It ought to be out in the open so it can be judged. I said, so don't worry about it. None of that's true. That wasn't God. That was the devil. Arlie's sitting beside her now. How many years ago was that? That's been, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years? I don't know. We've been here 27 years, so it's probably, 23 years? 23 years ago. He's still sitting here. You know why? Because that wasn't God that said that. You know, she could have been influenced, could have been tore up and things. No. You cannot believe everything when somebody says the Lord said. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when God tells you something, you keep walking out what God told you. Well, if somebody comes up and says, well, no, listen, here's what God told me you ought to do. You say, when God tells that to me, then that's what I'll do. Or if God confirms that some way to where I know that was God, that's what I'll do. But until then, I'm going to keep walking the way God told me to walk, and I'm not going to change directions, because there's a lot of folks that are prophesying things that are not true. I'm amazed at all the things that you hear on TV from one prophesying this, one prophesying that. There are some true prophets, and it's good to hear true prophets. But not everybody that says they're a prophet's a prophet. And not everything that's said is from God. So you have to learn to walk out this thing and learn how to walk with God so that you can discern what is God and what's not. Sometimes it's pretty tough, you know, but, you know, there's good ways to do that is just watch and see what comes to pass. When you see things come to pass that's been prophesied, you know, then you can say, well, that was from God. You know, but if you see things prophesied and hear things and what, and then you're not seeing it come to pass, best to stay away from that. Now, what I try to do is I just put it all on a shelf. And I just watch for it to see what comes to pass, what doesn't come to pass. You know, in the meantime, I'm going to keep walking the direction God has me to walk. I had different people come to me. Before this church was ever started, I had people come to me and say things like, well, now you're not supposed to go. The Lord told me you're not supposed to leave here. You know, I mean, nobody likes it when somebody leaves their church or is leaving. I was assistant pastor, and people didn't want me to go, but I knew what God wanted me to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard enough anyway, because you did I hear God or did I not hear? And I believed I heard God, you know, but I was being told by different people, well, I don't believe that's not what God told me. You're not supposed to do this, you know. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you, Magoffin County wouldn't have been my first choice to start a church in. I was from Magoffin County. We had had some businesses here in the county and that kind of thing. You know, and I would have rather went somewhere where nobody knew me at all. You know, that would have been my choice. But that wasn't what God said. God said, you come here. And praise God, we've been here 27 years. I believe it's proven out that God was in that. Amen. You know, that church is that organization is no longer in the church. The church is no more, okay? The building's still there. It's a different church in the building. But so, you know, God, we have stayed the course because we keep walking the way God tells us to. Now, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to walk out the thing God tells you to, but you just got to keep walking. You don't back down. You just because here's how I went, okay? And this is how you don't have to do it this way, but I promise you I've proved it out and tried it. If God tells you to do something, God will take care of you through that. And if it takes money to do it, God will provide the money to do it. When you look around and see this, it's amazing to me that just ordinary people, I'm not talking about millionaires or anything, just ordinary people that God used. And I promise you, as we were building things, God used men that weren't even saved, women that weren't even saved. And they blessed and God sent them. But you know, then I see just biblical, because God used the Egyptians to bless their Israelites and made them rich. Well, you know, the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is what? It's laid up for the righteous, right? So God, all the earth, all the money of the earth belongs to God. It's just in somebody else's pocket. God just allows us to use it. So when God tells you to do something, He will take care of you. He'll provide. Just always remember that. If He's telling you to do something, if you keep walking with God, walk those things out, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass because, you know, if God be for me, who can be against me, right? Here, because he believed that old prophet, he ended up losing his life. Just because he didn't do what God told him to do. In Nehemiah chapter 6, if you want to jump over there with me, here's another story. Nehemiah's come, it was on his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. He got permission from the king that he was serving. He was a cupbearer, and he told him, he said, I'll even finance it, let you go, write letters so you can go. And Nehemiah goes in, he searches out the city, sees the walls tore down, sees the gates broken down, sees everything that needs to be done. He's doing it privately, going out at night, looking at everything. And then he comes back to the leaders then and begins to tell what's on his heart. And he says, you know, this is what we're going to do. And the Lord has blessed me, and I have letters signed from the king. We're going to get things. We're going to rebuild this city. And the Bible says that they said it sounded like a good thing to them. Let's do it. The people had a mind to work, the Bible says. And so here in chapter 6, though, we have a little problem. And I want to read some here with you. I'm going to read the first 16 verses so you can see this. It says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Then that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent it to me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then said Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it may not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came to the house of Shimei, and then son of Delilah. That's right, Delilah. The son of Mehetabel, who was shut up and said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hard that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and upon the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. I want you to see this because I want you to understand that Nehemiah had an assignment from God to build back those walls. God had sent him to do this. He's got the people that are working on his side. But no matter what God tells you to do, there's always going to be an enemy that wants to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Notice this. They start building the walls back and they're having good success. Things are going good. And when they, of course, they hear, the enemy hears that it's going good, then they start trying to distract them. Notice the first thing they did. Why don't you come over and let's just talk about this thing? You know, that's what people that don't want to do anything do. They want to talk. Come on now. Let's talk about it. I know people that talk about what they're going to do all the time. You know, I'm from the country, and one of the things I saw a whole lot happen, and this is not building something, but I saw it happen through the winter time. Through the winter time, people raised the awfulest crops that ever was. I mean, big crops of corn and beans and tomatoes and that. I mean, you know, this spring we're going to have us a big old garden. When springtime comes, guess what? Nothing happens. I call them wintertime gardeners. Why? Because they just talk the game, but they never do it. You see, they wanted Nehemiah to come over and talk. Nehemiah says, why should I quit working, doing what I'm doing? I'm doing a great work. I'm not coming over there and just sitting around talking to you guys. Of course, he said besides that, they meant to do me mischief. In other words, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop him. They would have stopped at nothing to kill him. Whatever it took, they wanted to stop him from building Jerusalem back. And so that didn't work. And so then all of a sudden, now here comes this letter and this saying that, you know, here's what everybody's saying now. Don't you just love what they said? It's amazing how they said this and they said, they've been people say stuff about me, don't even know me. Talk about me like a dog. Don't even know me. Never been around me. Never been to this church. And here they come talking to Nehemiah and saying, you know, well, here's what we hear. We hear that you're going to set yourself up a king. That's why you're building all these walls back. You've already got prophets are going to prophesy. And you, I mean, man, they're laying out a big story. Nehemiah sends back and said, that's every word a lie. Ain't none of that true. Matter of fact, you made that up. You know, he said, we're going to take this to the king and see what the king's got to say about it. Come here and let's talk about this before we go to the king. Once again, they're trying to draw him off so that they can get rid of him. It doesn't work. Nehemiah just keeps right on working. Guess what they do? They say, here's what you need to do. You need to tell him they're going to sneak and ambush him. They're going to kill him. They're going to sniper him. They're going to get him through the night. Tell him if he comes and hides in the temple that he'll be safe. And so he's got folks. They hire folks to try to scare Nehemiah to get him to go hide in the temple. And he looks at him and says, what kind of man do you think I am? A man such as I, you know what he was saying? I'm a man of God. I'm not going to run and hide. I know what God has told me to do. So I refuse to run and hide. And he said, I perceived. I like that. I perceived that they had hired them. You know what that meant? The Holy Spirit told him. The Lord told him. His spirit man told him. That's all made up. You don't want to do that. And he didn't do it. He just kept working, just kept walking, kept doing his thing. And they built the wall back. And the Bible says once they got the work done, this is what I like. The heathen were just about to, I mean, they're just, how could they get out? They were just distressed because they knew that the work was of God. When they finished what God said do, they realized this was God. We couldn't stop it. Can I tell you something? If God's telling you something to do and you keep on doing it, the heathen can't stop you. Ain't nobody can stop you but you. So you got to keep on the path and they will see that it's of God. Again, you can look around and see that this place is of God. You can see what God's done and what God is still doing. I'm going to tell you something. Our best days are yet to come. Come on. I'm telling you, God has got our last days are going, the latter days, going to be better than they are in former days. I'll tell you that right now. So just get ready for it. Get ready for what God's getting ready to do. 20 people signed in the book the other Sunday. No, that's just the start of what God's getting ready to do. Come on now. Hallelujah. So we've got to just keep on working, keep on walking, keep on doing what God tells us to do. Now, let's go to one more scripture and then I'll close this thing up. I realize it's a week night. Philip, go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Very familiar scripture, but I think it's fitting to end this way. Philippians chapter 3, we'll jump into verse 13. Here's what Paul says. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Notice again, he's not looking back. He's forgetting everything. If you go back up and read ahead of that, he gives his pedigree. All the things that he was. But he said, "I count it all as dung that I might win Christ." It means nothing to me. And then he says, here's what I think, folks. He says, I've not achieved everything I want to achieve yet. But here's what I do. I'm forgetting what's behind me. Because I'm walking forward. I'm moving forward. Listen to what he says. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For what many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Paul says simply this: forget what's behind, keep moving forward, and stay thus minded. What thus minded? Our mind is set on heaven, and we're going to keep walking toward that goal. Amen. You see, that's where we got to be. Heaven is our goal, church. Nothing on this earth worth going to hell for. Heaven is where we're going. That's our goal. And we have to keep walking in that direction, not letting anything distract us. And if we do, I promise you, we cannot even comprehend with our finite minds how great glory is going to be. But we can get a little taste of it here on earth as God blesses. And I want to walk in that, don't you? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, right now I ask you, Lord, help us to see.